Guys, it's almost May, and that means graduations, job interviews, and dressing for work. That's why we love the folks at Liberty Shirt Co. Not only do they make the coziest, warmest, and softest flannels we love to wear, but they have over 400 fabrics for you to design your one-of-a-kind shirt for every occasion, like white shirts for job interviews to the coolest linen for summer clubbing down the shore. And what's really awesome about these guys is that they make every shirt in New Jersey. Head over to libertyshirtco.com and save every time you use the promo code 3PEAT.
Well, it's that time of the week again. Another episode of the 3PEAT podcast, episode 16 for season 3. So we're grinding them out, boys. I'm your host this week, Stephen Benazzo, and I'm joined with my other good fellas and co-hosts on here.
Alex Castle.
Josh Fromowitz.
Guys, we got a few things to talk about today. Obviously, first things first, with our school, a lot of news rumbling. We talked about this last week with the proposition of moving from Division I to Division III. So a lot of news has been happening here on campus and out of campus. We'll touch on that. The NFL, there's some changes. The owners had a meeting, so there's some changes. So we'll dive into that. And then the NBA. There's a team that's hot right now, and I think someone in this podcast...
Skip that part. We don't even need to talk about it. Just keep going.
Well, we'll get into that later. And then there's some other, NBA news, including the reigning champs, the Lakers, and just how kind of the playoffs are closing. So, they're close by, so we'll talk about some of the standings right now. But... first things first, like I said at the very top, Hartford possibly going to Division III. We talked about it last week. But on Monday, the student athletes here on campus organized a little march and rally and protest, obviously very peaceful. And they walked from campus, from the sports center, towards the administration building where President Woodward's office is. And then they kind of just marched throughout campus. They had signs. And not just the athletes who were there, but other just students. I know for one of my classes, a professor, she let us go if we wanted to participate and get footage of it. And I know a lot of my classmates went. So I personally did not go, but I saw videos of it. It looked like it was a good thing that they did. And it was unclear whether or not Woodward was in his office. I don't think he was. But I want to get your guys' thoughts on this. I mean, like I said, I think it was well put together by the athletes. It was very, it was just well done, and I'm glad and supported what they did. So, Josh, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, so I was actually there, and it was well done. I think one of the baseball guys, I forgot his name, he was the one with holding the megaphone, basically the leader of it. And yeah, it was cool to see. There was like all the student athletes there and some students on campus just being there supporting the athletes during this time. And it's a very unfortunate situation. I've been seeing a lot of athletes, a lot of columnists, writers hopping on podcasts, just talking about stuff like what's been going on, because it kind of just seems like bizarre that the 2021 has basically been the best year for sports for Hartford, make March Madness for the first time. And then all of a sudden this very random, unfortunate thing happens. And it seems like it's you can't believe it because it doesn't add up. Something's missing. And I've been listening to some podcasts and it seems like the $13 million that we mentioned last week and that number that's been thrown out is not actually a real number, and that's a made-up number that Woodward said. So there has to be more investigation that goes on because this is far from being over because a lot is going on, but at the same time, nothing is really going on because there's no solution in sight.
And then, Castle, I know that you live off campus, but I don't know if you were on campus for this or if you saw any of the videos. Well, I want to kind of get your thoughts on this too.
So a lot of the stuff that Josh said, I have to agree with. Very well done with the organization part of it. Good amount of student athletes represented. good amount of non-students, non-athletes represented. I know one of all of our good friends, Alex Ortiz, he actually recorded the footage, posted on Instagram. I know that we reposted on the three-peat. I thought it was really good that he posted that, got a lot of good coverage. Professors were talking about it. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't there, so I didn't, you know, it was kind of a last-minute thing, actually, when I found about it. I didn't even know about it until the day of. But I definitely think it's something that needed to be done. You know, like Josh pointed out, we made March Madness for the first time in school history, and then this bombshell is dropped. And a lot of these athletes put a lot in, you know, they invest a lot of their life when they commit Division I. You know, Division I, it's not just, you know, it's not just, okay, I'm a student and I play a sport on the side. It's a full-on commitment. It's another job compared to the academic side. And I think the fact that this is just so casually being, that it was just so casually brought up and leaked, and the fact that it can just be pulling out under from these student athletes, it's crazy. And unfortunate Woodward wasn't there in his office. I wish he was, just to, you know, to see how the students really feel. And I was actually told by one of my professors that the rally did help. So I think the fact that the students showed themselves in the public, and that, you know, the local Fox News, they got it, I really think it's a step in the right direction. But there's a lot more work to be done, like Josh said.
And you said a step in the right direction. I really think it is, because, you know, obviously Harford, we're no Alabama, Ohio State, like we said last week. Athletics is big, but it's not the biggest thing here on campus. But it was good to see that everyone cares. I mean, obviously the athletes care, because they're the Division I athletes. They're playing here to play Division I sports, whatever sport they play. But it's also good to see that the students care, because sometimes, and even Jeff Jacobs, who joined another podcast of our friends and partners with Wild Chat Sports, Paradise Chat, Jeff Jacobs, a columnist for Connecticut, he said that Harford has had declining attendance ever since President Woodward has came in. So clearly he just doesn't care enough about athletics to have it succeed and reach a potential that they could. When I wasn't here for when the ex-president, before President Woodward, what was it, Walt Harrison?
Yes.
And it seemed like he cared a lot, because I know my brother and his roommates loved him. He really cared about the campus, the students, the athletes, everything. He wanted to make a better one. And Woodward just, he doesn't seem to engage with his students as much. So back to my point, it was just great to see students, whether we don't maybe have the best attendance sometimes, like a lot of this campus is like really upset that this is even a thing. And then national news, all the local news stations are upset. Barstool Sports, one of the college basketball writers, wrote a whole article just dissing President Woodward, which was awesome. And he really like he probably never heard of Harford before we made the March Madness, and now this dude was like writing a whole page saying like how awful this is. And then even Scott Van Pelt, on one of his on one of the late night sports centers with him, he took like a few minutes to talk about it and saying, you know, that Woodward is just, this is not right by him. That, you know, he's good friends with, Scott Van Pelt's great friends with John Gallagher, our head basketball coach, and even said, you know, Harford is the neighborhood, and even one of your own is trying to take you out. So he was clearly hurt and affected by it. So you see, it's not just the athletes. It's not just students. It's not just professors. Like, this means a lot to people. Like, Harford being Division I means a lot to people. So that made me feel good. Showed me that a lot of people do care about the school, about the athletic program. So I'm hoping that this helps to remain Division I. This helps to like show that, you know what, being Division I means a lot more than President Woodward and some of these other administrators who are trying to move to Division III, like, realize. So, and my one last thing, I know I kind of been rambling on, the move to Division III won't be easy. I've been doing a lot of reading, and trying to find a conference, if we were to move to Division III, is not going to be as easy as everyone thinks. Because some conferences require the school to have a football team, which we do not, and we will not just start up a football team just to become in that conference. And then we're, you know, a smaller school for Division I. I mean, there's a lot of schools our size that are Division I, but like compared to some of the other schools in our conference, like Stony Brook, Binghamton, what other schools are in our Albany, like they have double digit, you know, students that attend there for enrollment. So we have, you know, close to 7,000 kids here. But compared to Division III, we're huge. Division III is like a few thousand at most, like 2,000 at most, 3,000 at most. So what school is going to want a X Division I school with 6,000, you know, 6,500 undergrads trying to join the conference or not? So it's not going to be an easy move. So you're better off just staying put where you are, which has been fine for over 30 years now.
And on top of that, I was listening to the same podcast that you just mentioned. They had a bunch of athletes on, and they were saying that you'd have to fill the entire sports team because, for example, basketball, every single player confirmed that they would leave the school and transfer out if they go to D3 because they want to be a Division I student athlete. What happens with Coach Gallagher, who built the neighborhood from scratch, from the ground up, and now that's being taken away from him? What does he do? Will he stay and try to build it up from the ground up again in D3, or will he? Because he's a talented coach who could be a high level D1 coach because of his talent and what he brings. And I think if we were to lose Gallagher, that would be the biggest loss for Hartford sports.
We actually already just lost our women's basketball coach. She was only here 2 years, Morgan Valley. And supposedly she said she wasn't leaving. She didn't plan on leaving Hartford, but UConn, which is her alma mater, which she won a few national champions with under Gino, you know, called. So for her, that was like a dream of hers to be able to coach at UConn. So, you know, I don't think the Division III thing was the main reason why she left, but I'm sure UConn calling and then the possibility of becoming Division III. Yeah. She was like, you know what? My long-term security and my long-term future might be best at UConn than say here at Hartford. So you already see one coach left. And she was really starting to help kind of rebuild that program because Jen Rosati and then Kim McNeil really like established that program, especially Rosati, and then Kim McNeil, you know, really helped that. But then once Kim McNeil left, and when Kim McNeil left, it was a lot of graduating seniors. So the program, you know, really declined quickly and fast, but I mean, any program will, but Morgan Valley came in and started to really implement like a good reputation and or trying to at least. So I had, you know, I liked Morgan Valley, but she's gone now. So yeah, if you see the switch, why is Gallagher going to want to stay? Why are any of these guys want to stay? And that's just not basketball. That'll be baseball, lacrosse, volleyball, soccer. That's just all the sports. And I know we like been harping on like basketball, like March Madness, but I mean, even baseball just a few years ago made the College World Series.
We've had people drafted.
And that's the thing too. You know, so they get some pretty big time recruits, or even if they like aren't big time recruits, they develop them into becoming major league baseball ready guys. So like they can play in the league, like Eric Osberg, who was drafted by the Tampa Bay Rays a few years ago. He's in their farm system now. I know he was in spring training with them trying to get his shot at the big leagues. And then lacrosse, I think there was a few guys drafted into, because at lacrosse I'm a little confused because there's a lot of like professional leagues, but there's a few guys who have gone professionally. So there are some big time, and even basketball lately has been getting some big time commitments. You know, Tracy Carter played at some big schools, Malik Ellison, and now we're getting other big time, maybe not, you know, not super big time, but some pretty big names that, you know, 10 years ago, I doubt we would have gotten. But they're seeing what Gallagher's doing. They're seeing the program. They're seeing the type of players that are coming here. So, yeah, it just seems like the worst time to have this come out. So, just definitely, it's been a lot to deal with on campus. So, hopefully, everything works out for the best. And hopefully, we can report back soon saying that, woohoo, we're saying Division One and not boo, we're switching. But there's going to be a lengthy process. This is not going to be something that's going to be decided like next week. So we'll keep everyone updated, whether you guys care or not. But it's a big deal for us, a big deal for this community. But then now, switching NFL. So then the draft is next week, so we'll touch more upon that next week. But the big news in the NFL is the Chiefs proposed a new rule with the numbers. And the league, the owners, just agreed to pass on it. And I just want to pull up the number switches. So as of now, like, running backs were allowed to wear anything from, like, the 20s to the 40s, and that was it. Tight ends were pretty much, like, in the 80s and then maybe, like, the 40s. And then DB, same thing, like, the 20s, 30s, 40s. And then receivers were, like, the teens and the 80s. And then obviously linebackers were like, was it 40s, 30s? I don't even think 30s, like 40s, 50s, and then 90s. So now running backs, tight ends, wide receivers can wear any number from 1 through 49 and then 80 through 89. Defensive backs can wear any number from 1 to 49. Linebackers can wear any number from 1 through 59 and then 90 to 99. And then O-line is 50 to 79, so the same. D-line, same thing, 50 to 79, and then 90 to 99. And then QBs, punters, and kickers, anywhere from 1 through 19. So, obviously in college, you can wear, like, a defensive lineman can wear number 1. Or a DB can wear in the teens or a single digit. So, the NFL now finally lessened up on the restrictions. So first things first, do you guys like this decision? I know I do. Castle, I'll start off with you. Do you like this move?
Yeah, I was very pumped up when this went through. I've always thought it was cool to just see, you know, these different positions, you know, in college wear like single numbers, and then in the league they have to wear, you know, whatever number correlates with their position and rules. But now these guys can do whatever they want. I don't know. I feel like it kind of adds a different swagger now. It's like, let me throw on my college jersey. You know, let me reminisce to the college days a little bit. I think it kind of will light a fire under some of these guys' asses. So I think it's really cool. I'm really excited to see what these players end up doing. I know some of them or some pages on Instagram have already made their predictions. I know Christian McCaffrey is one of the biggest ones that people talk about, him bringing back his number 5 from college, Justin Jefferson wearing number 2 again. I've seen some pictures of Odell wearing 3 again, so really, really cool. I think it's just going to bring a different element to the season that it's going to make more enjoyable for fans to watch.
Josh, you got anything to say?
Yeah, I think it'd be terrifying to see Derrick Henry wearing number 2. Like, nothing seems cooler than that, just seeing that big boy wearing a number 2. DB's trying to tackle that. No, but in all seriousness, I think it is pretty cool, because I've always thought it was fascinating seeing, like, a wide receiver line up in the backfield, like Ty Montgomery, for example, who is always listed as a running back slash a wide receiver, but wore number 88 because he was listed as a wide receiver. So, like, I've always wondered, like, well, if he's, shouldn't he be listed, like, in the running back numbers because he's a running back? Like, what's the deal with that? But I've always thought it looks cool, though. But, and now that they're able to switch the numbers to basically wear whatever they want, essentially, it allows for that flexibility, which is pretty cool. So I am pretty excited. It will look weird at first, I will admit, the first week of football, because that was another rule change, that there's an extra week of football. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But it will look weird, but... And jersey sales will go up like crazy because of it, but it will look cool.
The only thing is, though, is that you probably won't see too many veterans with this at first. It'll probably be more the rookies, because I saw part of this is if a player wants to like switch immediately, like for this year, their number, they have to buy out like the like pretty much they have to like pay a certain amount to like buy out all their like jerseys that would be sold for that number. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to, I forgot what the actual like term was. If they wait a year though, they won't have to do that. So they won't be responsible for paying for their, for, oh my gosh, I don't know why I can't think of this, like the term, whatever it is. But so I think a lot of guys might wait. So not this year, but the 2022, 2023 season. That's when you might see a lot of number switches, but the rookies obviously will be able to just wear whatever number they want if they want to. Like, I'm trying to think of a like Jamar Chase was what, number one in college, right? Let me look it up really quick.
Yeah, Devontae Smith was number five in college. So
maybe he was number six.
It's number six. You're right.
Yeah, he was sixth.
Yeah, so say Devontae Smith. So say if he gets drafted by the Giants, just make it easy. You know, he can wear number six this year with no problem because he was in the league before and now this is passed. But a guy like, you know, if Odell Beckham wanted to switch to number three, he would have to, like, pretty much pay whatever it is to buy out all the number 13 Odell jerseys to, like, so they don't lose money on that. To like kind of equal that out. But if he waits until the following season, he won't have to. So I don't know if I might be making it sound confusing. I'm hoping it's you guys understand it.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It just sounds like the NFL was just trying to make even more money. And it just seems like obviously they're a business. This just seems like a giant money grab. And I really,
they don't want to lose money.
Well, of course, I get that. They're a business. I get that. But I really don't know how many players, when you put it like that, will actually want to switch. Because like Christian McCaffrey, for example, like he's got his number 22. He's got his jersey sold already. Like, why would he want to switch?
Well, that's the thing.
He's been in the league for a while already. Like, he was only in college for what, 2-3 years at most?
Probably. He was probably a junior, so 3 years maybe.
Years.
But, that's the thing. Like, a lot of these guys were like, some of them were, you know what, I'm this number, I've been wearing this number now in the league, like, I'm sticking with it. Or I know, I forgot what player was it saying.
They've worn their NFL jersey longer than they've worn their college jersey, because in high school, it was, the rules are, depending on the school and state, they're closer to the NFL rules with jersey, so.
I think it might have been Jamal Adams, actually, that said that he was not going to switch. At first, he was thinking about switching, but then he wasn't because, I don't know, maybe it wasn't Jamal Adams. But it was someone who said, like, because they, you know, they didn't want people who spend their hard-earned money on it to, like, have to get a new one, you know. So they were like, I'm going to stick with the number I'm wearing right now. But it's still cool that there will be the option for these guys to, like, switch numbers. And it's a little more like freedom. Like, you know, when you get into the league, it's like, ah, oh, great, I have to pretty much get a new number. And I can only choose between this one. Like, now they have a large variety of numbers to choose from. Even if they don't want, like, say Devontae Smith, like, obviously he'll probably keep number six, but say if he's like, you know what, I want to wear number three or number one, he has the ability to, unless if it's taken by someone on the team already. But
that's where it gets interesting. If those numbers are already taken by like a quarterback, a veteran quarterback, for example, like Cam Newton's number one on the Patriots, but let's say like Jalen Waddle gets drafted to the Patriots and he wants to be number one, then you see, I wonder if that sparks some like controversy in that team early, because in years past, that really wouldn't be a conversation that needs to be had amongst different positions. Those would only be had amongst the same position groups.
You know, it will definitely, or especially like a punter, like if a punter is wearing number one or number two or number, or a kicker wearing, you know, five, like all these single digits, when receivers and, or like DBs who, you know, they have more respect on the team than a punter or kicker, because they, not that the punters and kickers are not important, but, you know, more people are buying DBs and receivers numbers, and they're making more of the bigger plays. So, like, are they going to give up their numbers to a receiver, or, you know, DB or whatever, or even tight end? You know, like Kyle Pitts wears, no, he wears 84. Never mind. I feel like, I don't know why I'm like blanking all these numbers, but, you know, there's gonna be some pretty big time names who are gonna want to switch, and yeah, there might be that controversy, or, you know, who knows. But now my next question is, if you had to choose a player to switch their numbers, probably like, let's say back to like their college number, who would you want it to be? So Josh, I'll let you go first.
I'm just gonna stick with what I said earlier. I think Derrick Henry rocking a number two for the Titans would look sick. Because Tannehill's 17, I believe, right? Or is he 16 or 17?
He's 17.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So there's no controversy with the quarterback there, at least with the starting quarterback. I'm not sure who's number two on the Titans. But that could look sick. He's just a giant man. You see a 2 on his jersey instead of a 22. Ooh, that looks sick. And he looked good in the Bama jersey.
True. Now, Castle, how about you?
I think I also got to stick with one of the names I came up with earlier, Christian McCaffrey, rocking that number 5 from back in the Stanford days. I think it would just be very interesting to see him rocking it, especially, you know, not coming off the best season last season. I mean, he struggled with his injuries, so I don't know. Who knows? Maybe repping the number 5, he pulls out great numbers, but I really like that. I would also like to see Derrick Henry too. And I guess one more name to throw in there, even though I don't like him as much, and, you know, maybe it's because I'm a Giants fan, maybe not, but I think seeing Odell in the LSU number 3 would be kind of fire in the Cleveland Browns jersey.
I really like that you said Christian McCaffrey, because that brings up my question about controversy, because do you know who number 5 is for Carolina Panthers?
Currently, it's Teddy Bridgewater, who I believe they are trying to move, though.
Which makes things interesting, because if he ends up staying, will McCaffrey actually switch then?
I think so. I don't think Teddy is really married to that number, because, I mean, yes, he has had it for most of his career, but if he's on the move, I don't see him caring. But on the other hand, he is a quarterback, and
he's a veteran quarterback.
Yeah, so – exactly. So from my understanding, most quarterbacks are pretty married to their number, especially late in their career. So that would definitely be interesting, though. I'm just more curious to see where Bridgewater ends up. But that's a conversation for another time.
If I had to get mine, I'm kind of stuck on someone. So I guess if I had to go Bears, I'd say like Eddie Jackson, maybe wearing number 4 like he did in college for Bama, you know, switch from 39 to 4. And then I'm not going to lie, Chase Young, number 2, would be kind of sick too. You know, he wore number 2 with Ohio State, and he only wore 99 for that 1 year. And, you know, he didn't look bad, but, you know, if he were number 2, like, that would be pretty sick. And then, oh, there's one more I thought of that I didn't – I'm trying to think. Derrick Henry, number 2, would be sick. Jerry Jeudy, number 4, would be pretty cool with Denver again. Roquan wouldn't be able to do this because I think number 3 is retired by Chicago, but if he wore number 3 like he did at Georgia, that'd be cool instead of 58. It's tough because there's a few guys that like McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, that would be sick.
I know one person who's been very vocal about switching his number is Ezekiel Elliott. He wants to rock for 15.
That would be cool. Yeah, no, that would definitely be dope. And you know what? Derwin James back to number 3, like he wore at Florida State. I think that would be sick instead of 33. And especially in those new LA unis. Because that dude's got some swag, and then he rocks number 3 again. So, I don't know, there's a few guys that I think would be.
I'm looking at CBS Sports right now, and they have an article about it. They're saying, like, possible guys who we should expect to see switch their number without conflict. But one of them was like Stephon Diggs wearing number 1, like he wore in Maryland, which would look cool.
Oh, that would be pretty cool.
It would be sick seeing a wide receiver rock number one.
That'd be a statement from Diggs too, especially after the season.
Trying to prove that he's wide receiver number one in the league.
Oh yeah, that'd be something. What about DeAndre Hopkins? Wasn't he like number six or something with Clemson? So if he went, I don't know, he does look pretty. That's the thing. Now we're kind of used to guys certain numbers. Like DeAndre Hopkins, number 10 looks good. I don't know if I would like him at number six.
Yeah, at this point, it just feels like it'd be weird if he goes back to that number because, like, you hear six on him, and it's like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, not only that, but, like, another small detail that you pointed out, Josh, which I didn't even think about, was the jersey sales, you know? These guys, we're talking about how we're all so used to these numbers. I mean, look, I think at the end of the day, people are still going to buy their jerseys, but maybe certain fans don't find the new number as appealing.
Like when you think of 13, you think of Odell. Like you don't think of number three anymore. Like OBJ 13, whether it's Cleveland or the Giants, like that's what you think of.
Okay, I just thought of one now. Jalen Ramsey, he wears number 20 now, which I like, but he did wear number 8 in college. So I don't know if I would like. I would be fine with either, but that would be a big one.
Number 8?
Yeah. Yeah, you wore number 8.
If it was number 2, I think that would look sick.
Well, here's the thing. They don't have to go back to the college numbers. They can pick any single digits that are available, you know. Because even Eddie Jackson, I know, he wore 4 in college, but he was just posting on a story the other day, like, that he might want to wear number 2, but because he wore 2, like, maybe all through Pop Warner in high school. But the thing is, Cairo Santos has number 2. So, again, there's a conflict. But I wouldn't mind BoJack 4. But, yeah, it would definitely be weird. But, yeah, Jalen Ramsey. And Robert Woods. He might want to go back to did he wear number 2 at USC, Robert Woods? Yeah, he did. So that would be kind of cool. Tyrann Mathieu, number 7 again.
The Honey Badger.
I think that one actually might be my favorite because Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, number 7 at LSU was a monster. So, yeah. And then
he was a Heisman candidate, right? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he was. And he helped lead them to the national championship, which they ended up losing to Alabama. But yeah, no, he had a phenomenal year that year.
Yeah.
And Derwin James, like I said, he, when this first came out with, like, this proposition, he said, got to be April Fool's joke, LOL, and then he put number 3 with the shrugging emojis, but I'm sure that he'd want to definitely have it happen. So we'll have to wait and see what comes out. I'm sure it's going to take a little while because the rule was just passed yesterday, so I'm sure guys are going to really – decide, am I going to keep it for this year? Am I going to just keep my number forever? But I'm sure when the draft, after the draft, and the rookies pick their numbers, that's when you're going to start seeing some of these big-time guys like Devontae Smith.
Or before, because if they don't want a rookie to have their number, they might want to hurry up and take their number soon.
That is true, too. I didn't really think about that. But Ja'Marr Chase, he wore number 1 in college. I think he was going to wear number 7 this year, but then he didn't play. But Ja'Marr Chase, he wore number 1. So, same thing. He might, you know.
Whatever team he gets him, if a veteran wants to wear number 1, they wouldn't want to let a rookie wear it if it means something.
True. It's you don't know.
We'll start seeing this madness sooner rather than later. So, buckle up, boys.
This is going to be exciting. And then Madden, you know, get to play with all these guys in single digits.
Drama in football. I like it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This, you know, the Chiefs have been annoying me because of all the Pat Mahomes slander with the Bears and them just winning all much. But I got to give them the credit.
Sorry about that, Steve. I didn't mean to send that to you.
Yeah. For everyone out there, I got a text or DM on Instagram the other day from Josh. I was like, what is this guy sending me? I open it and it said, tag a Bears fan to ruin their day. And it's a picture of Mahomes photoshopped in a Bears uniform. And I just said, come on.
That's a low blow, Josh. That is a low blow.
One of the favorite segments of, you know, ESPN Monday Night Countdown. Come on, man. Like, why do you got to do that to me? So maybe with the draft, something will happen.
We're friends together, Steve. It's okay.
Yeah. You better get your franchise quarterback, and I'm just going to be, I don't know what the heck the Bears are going to do, and they're just going to ruin my life. But whatever, that's We're not talking about that now, but yeah, so that's what I had to look at the other day. So just wanted to share that with you guys.
Steve, but, if it makes you feel any better, I was just sent that same meme now. So you're not alone.
Okay, good. But I mean, different, like, not that you,
different,
you know,
I know circumstances, but I just wanted to let you know that you were not alone in suffering from the meme.
Okay, fair enough. I appreciate it, Castle. You know, Josh is out to get us, and he's a Jets fan.
He's a Jets fan. He's a Nets fan. He just can't help himself.
No. And
but my Nets are looking good, so it's okay.
Well, so is
they're not Castle. The only team in New York that's looking good, though, baby. Don't forget that.
I was about to say that, and let's go. Let's talk about them, Castle. Talk about your Knicks. Let it on. You know, the Knicks deserve it. You deserve to talk about them. Every Knicks fan,
this is where I'm true Knicks fan. Myself. This is where I mute myself. I can't listen to this.
I have not been this excited about the Knicks in a very long time. They're finally operating as a team. And I think that's what Thibodeau tried delivering in his message all along. And that's what he brings to the table. And that's why I think we're finally clicking. You know, we're having our all-star player, Julius Randle, continuing to put up these crazy numbers. I mean, you know, he's I don't think he's going to win it, but he's making a pretty good case for comeback player of the year. But besides that, you got him. You know, Noel's been doing pretty good stepping up. I mean, you know, not having Mitch Rob definitely hurts. So he's been stepping up a little bit, which I really like to see. Bullock has been shooting a little better, which I've also liked to see. So it's just been a lot of fun. And, I mean, 8 straight. I can't even tell you the last time that the Knicks were even winning more than 3 games in a row. And now they're on an 8-game winning streak. And they're putting up some pretty big numbers. You know, they're scoring, you know, last few games, they're scoring 120, 130 points. So it's been really fun to watch. And I think the most fun thing for me to watch, and, you know, I've been mixed about him in the past, but it's RJ. You know, I'm slowly starting to see him step in the direction that Knicks fans really wanted. You know, I still don't think it's where he could be, but I think the fact that he's in this position with all these great guys, and I think this win streak is really, really bringing the morale up. And I'm excited to see what they bring into the playoff run. Very excited.
I'm excited for you too, because my Bulls suck, especially Zach LaVine's out now, but I don't want to talk about them. Listen, I think I got to give credit to Thibodeau. My brother and I were talking about this another night, and if you think about it, wherever Thibodeau has gone, he has won. Chicago, obviously he had D. Rose. I mean, he pretty much had D. Rose wherever he went, but Chicago, they never quite made it to the finals and win, and a lot of people think, including myself, that if D. Rose stayed healthy, that they would have had a good chance of at least one year making to the finals and possibly winning it. And even Minnesota, he went to Minnesota, and him and Jimmy and Kat and all them, they made it to the playoffs for the first time in however many years. I think it was like the longest drought in the NBA for missing the playoffs, and he ended that. And think, ever since he left, they have sucked, and they still have Kat. Yes, they don't have Jimmy, but they still have Kat. They have D'Lo. Now they have Anthony Edwards. So it's not like they have nothing. But they haven't been able to win. And then now he goes to New York, and we saw a few years ago, you guys should have got the number one pick. Obviously the lottery screwed you guys. And then last year's maybe a little better, but nothing crazy. And now this year you guys are number 4 in the East, and you've had some pretty big winning streaks like that. I mean, this one might be the longest one, right? All year, 8.
Yeah, I think it easily is.
Because, I mean, that's a lot of games, especially in the NBA, like when you're pretty much playing every other night. So that's tough. And there's a time before you guys went on this 8-game win streak where I was like, oh, those poor Knicks, like they've been playing well all year, and now they're starting to kind of crumble a little bit. But then Julius Randle and RJ, but especially Randle, that dude is just on a different mission right now, different planet. And it's good to see, and even everyone agrees, like, the NBA is better when the Knicks are good. And I have no problem with the Knicks. I know Promets might have a problem with the Knicks. You know, because I feel your pain. And, like, I like to see. I want to see the good, like Chicago, New York. I want to see those teams, like the Lakers. I want to see these teams good. So it was good to see the Lakers win last year. It's good to see the Knicks doing good. I'm hoping Chicago can just be good for one in any sport. I don't really care about baseball, obviously, but for football, basketball, hockey, just be good once again. So, yeah, that's what I got to say about that. Josh, do you have anything else to add to it?
Stevie. Oh, man.
What are you signing for?
What?
What are you signing for?
I feel your pain, buddy. I feel your pain.
You add on to my pain by sending me all these memes.
That's how I feel it. I know it makes it worse. And I know it's like being a Jets fan.
Used to be Nets, but now the Nets are good, so there's no pain with that, really.
Yeah, I mean, there's only pain because Harden's hurt, Durant's hurt. We have more guys hurt than we do healthy right now. So that's the only pain we're feeling.
Like actual physical pain.
Yeah, true. Nah, but all seriousness, I've been waiting for the Knicks to crumble and crumble and crumble. I was just like, when's it going to happen? It's coming soon. It's going to come soon, but it hasn't happened yet. I still think it might happen because there's still a lot of time left in the season. There's a month. Anything could happen in a month. But Randall looks like the real deal. The only like questionable moves that Tibbs has made is reducing quickly his minutes to basically giving him like only 5 a game. And his minutes have been inconsistent because he's gone on stretches where it's been like 25 plus minutes and then 5. So he's a big fan of Elfrid Payton, which Knick fans really aren't. But Julius Randle looks legit. He's making Obi Toppin look like a giant bust, though, and a waste of a first-round pick.
Listen. Coming in, Toppin was, like, the oldest player. Supposedly, he was, like, one of the most polished one because of his age. So, I mean, at first, I didn't mind it. And plus, yeah, you didn't know where you were going to get from Randle, but it is now making that pick not look as good. But then if they drafted a point guard, they wouldn't have gotten Quickly, and I really like Quickly. So, you know, some things are just meant to be. So I'm hoping Toppin gets more of a role at some point because I really liked him coming out of Dayton. And I know Castle, I don't know if you like him, but I like Toppin. I still do, and I still think he's got a lot of potential. But I really like Quickly too. But Castle, you go first.
I was just going to quickly chime in. I do like Toppin. Maybe looking back on it now, maybe the Knicks could have drafted differently. But he's still young, and I think there's been a lot of changes to the rotation that he hasn't been given the full opportunity to really get a lot of minutes. But I definitely think he's a good young guy to have on the bench, and I'm optimistic that Thibodeau will continue to develop him.
He really isn't that young, though, to be honest. If I'm not mistaken, I think he's already like 23, 24.
Yeah,
he was the oldest rookie.
Okay, well, that changes that then.
Yeah, no, that was the biggest question mark for him coming out of college was he didn't really have the flexibility guys like Quickly, Anthony Edwards, LaMelo have because he was like 4 or 5 years older than.
Then I'm going to change my statement a little bit.
Isn't he like the same age as Julius Randle or older?
No, he's younger because Julius Randle's probably like 26. Okay. I'll look up Cal, so you say what you got to say.
I was just going to say, changing it a little bit, I do think that he should be getting more minutes if that's the case because he's kind of in the prime age of where he really needs to start developing a lot of more of his game to compete in the league. And I do still think that the rotation has to do with it. Hopefully Thibodeau gives him a chance. I don't know. Maybe we see some Toppin during the playoff time. Who really knows?
So Obi is 23. Kevin Knox, who barely plays, is 21 and has been in the league now for 3 years. Julius is 26, so he's only 3 years younger than Julius, and Julius has been in the league for quite a while because Kobe was still playing when Julius Randle was entered the league. And then RJ's only 20. So, yeah, he's only a rookie, but that's why I think the Knicks drafted him because he was, like, the most you know, ready, NBA ready because of his age. And he played how many years at Dayton. So, but like you said, everyone transitions in differently. And I mean, if he's not getting as many minutes, it's hard to produce anything because you're just not getting enough time to do anything. But Josh, I want to ask you, like, so you, I know obviously you don't like the Knicks because you're a Nets fan, but you don't want to see the Knicks, like, you don't want, like, the Knicks and Nets both in the playoffs, like, competing, like, making it more competitive, like, for the state of New York, the two boroughs, you know, like, I would love that, like, in the East, Chicago, Brooklyn, New York, maybe, I'm trying to think of other, like teams back in the 90s and 80s, but, you know, Boston, like, all those teams backing again, and you still want them to like be so bad?
100%. I would love to see a Knicks-Nets first round. I think it would be great for the state of New York and for basketball, as long as the Nets win it, though.
Like, I get that. You know, you don't have to root for the Knicks, but I'm saying, like, that's what I'm, like.
Yeah, I would love to see it, but I'm just being more realistic, and I think that the Knicks could crumble given their recent history, as well as Julius Randle is playing on a pace that I don't think is possible to keep it up. I get he's been doing it for so long already for this season, but I think at some point his legs got to catch up to his body the way he's been going. And hats off to him if he's able to keep it going. But given, look at recent years, players who play at this type of level, it's hard to keep it going for this long of a stretch without having a slump or drought or any sort of slowing down.
I think he, you know, before the season started, he didn't play since March when the season ended during, you know, for COVID. And then the season didn't start back again in December. So, you know, it wasn't a full year, but it was like 9 months that he didn't play basketball. So he was, and granted now, I mean, he's had not a full season, but almost a full season. He's gone a lot of minutes, and, you know, obviously he's been playing a lot, and it's not like he like plays a lot and doesn't, like, he's been going hard too this year. So you know, he's got a lot of miles on him, but I think he should be good. I think the Knicks should be good. I'm not saying that they have to now, you know, that they're going to end this season on like they're not going to lose again and end the season on like a 20 game win streak. But I think if they win a few games here and there, and then if they lose one to like a contender, then whatever. But that if they definitely keep at this pace, then they'll be fine. And even if they don't, as long as they don't lose game in and game out, then I think they'll be pretty good. But in the West, though, the West is weird right now. The Lakers, ever since AD and LeBron been out, dropped from like the second seed to the fifth seed. I mean, that's just crazy right now.
It's weird to think, but I'm not shocked. I still don't think that they'll drop to the point where they'll be in a play-in tournament, because now Anthony Davis is healthy. He's back playing. Can't say healthy, but he's back playing. And I think with the Nuggets losing Jamal Murray for the year, they'll drop to a play-in tournament. So I think the Lakers will start regaining position, fall all the way up to maybe four and finish at four. But the Suns, man, they're special.
Number two. I didn't realize that they're the number two seed and that they're only 1.5 games back behind the Jazz, who the Jazz have all year pretty much have dominated and have had that number one spot. So hats off to the Suns. And in reality, I don't think they would be in this position without CP3, because Devin Booker's been on that team for how long, and he's been great, but they haven't been great. And then they drafted
Aiden. They never had a point guard to help them. That's what it came down to. But mm-hmm. The Chris Paul effect.
Easily.
Oh, yeah.
And Kessel, go on.
Yeah, the Suns have been such a fun team to watch this season. Chris Paul is one of my favorite players. I mean, the dude is just a vet that's killing it. He's created a great relationship with the young guys on the team, and also the young guys on the team too. Booker, love Devin Booker. He's been doing great. Bridges seems to be having a nice season. I mean, this they're just a fun team to watch. And I think what's so cool about the Suns is they're not a team that's really been talked about, even in the playoff picture. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but when was the last time the Suns really had like this much potential? The Nash era?
Nash and Stoudemire, that was the last time they did this kind of run. But they never made it past like the second or third round.
So it's been incredible to watch that. And it's still really, really interesting to see the Jazz still number one in the West. Don't think anyone expected that. Who's the coach for the Jazz? Is it
Quinn Snyder?
Yeah, it's Snyder, right?
Yeah.
Hats off to him for the season he's been having. I think he's been a coach that's been kind of flying under the radar the past few seasons, and he's really started to make a name for himself. I'm just so excited about the playoffs overall with everything that we've seen this season. Although I will say I'm a little upset with what happened to Jamal Murray. I really like Jamal Murray. I really enjoyed this Nuggets team. Very devastating to see a young guy get hurt like that. But as I always think, it's a minor setback for a major comeback. So hope Murray has a great recovery.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know why every time we record, there's always some noise outside my window, whether it's them cutting the grass, the wind just whipping at like 80 miles per hour. It makes me mad, so mad. I'm just trying.
Poor Stevie's going to walk outside when he goes to class. He's just going to blow away. He'll find his way to class without actually having to walk there because he'll fly his way there.
Yeah, listen, I don't like heights, so as long as I'm good, but I'll take that. Less stress on my legs, you know, less cardio I got to do.
Yeah. No, but I wouldn't be surprised next year if we'll see, like, bubble Jamal Murray come out. As Castle just said, minor setback for a major comeback. He's going to ball out next year, I think, after his torn ACL.
And I did see – I don't know. Let me look at the standings, but LaMelo Ball is supposed to be cleared.
Next week. Yep, 7 to 10 days, and that was as of Monday, I believe.
And the Hornets – Yes, and the Hornets currently hold the 8 seed. So if they get him back, that would be huge for their playoff implications because, as we see, not only is he he is turned into something special and he's doing it quickly. So,
low-key, I do not sleep on this Hornets team. I don't think they'll go far in the playoffs, but they are a fun team to watch.
Oh, for sure.
For some reason, they just have the Nets number, and that was without LaMelo, but – oh my gosh, you have him, Terry Rozier. Gordon Hayward's also been out. Miles Bridges has been playing on a different level. PJ Washington's been hurt.
Devontae Graham.
Yeah, Devontae Graham's been out.
So, you know, they got some pieces.
And they've got great announcers.
Oh, yeah. If anyone hasn't heard, I don't know if anyone gets Hornets games, but, like, try to look up some videos of, like, Miles Bridges dunking. And you'll hear the announcers, and you'll want to, like, watch every single Miles Bridges dunk.
You become invested in the Hornets organization after watching some highlights of their commentators losing their minds.
It's awesome. I might have to bring our mic and join them. I want to see how crazy they get.
Next episode, we'll see Stevie rocking a LaMelo Ball Hornets jersey because he'll become their official fan.
Hey, listen. You got to do what you got to do. But
he'll be the only Hornets fan that I know and probably one of like 25 total Hornets fans.
Oh yeah, easily, without a doubt, because I have not met one Hornets fan before. So yeah, that's, I don't know. Before LaMelo, like, what was appeal? Like maybe Jordan owning it? I don't know. It's just,
let's be real. Jordan's probably not even a Hornets fan. He's probably just like, yeah, I have this team. They're cheap.
Well, he just, cause he's from that area. You know, he's from North Carolina, so that was like his like home team. So that's why I think he bought it. But yeah, I mean, doubt he's still really a Hornets fan. I mean, he does what he has to do to make them good, so he makes money and make them successful. But besides that, like, but listen, they got LaMelo, so they got a pretty bright future. But it's the NBA playoffs, sir. I mean, that's gotta be close. I think it's just a few short weeks away. I think there's like 13 games left. Something like that. So it's crazy to think that the season's almost over and then the playoffs are beginning. And pretty soon we'll have, you know, we'll be slowly getting to the middle of the, not fully the middle, but like the MLB season will kind of be in full swing. The NBA playoffs will be starting. The NFL draft will happen. So, you know, pretty good time for sports right now. Can't complain. I mean, granted, all my teams suck. so it's not as enjoyable, but maybe the NBA playoffs will be exciting to watch. So we'll definitely have to keep a look for that. And then before we wrap up, I just want to give a couple shout-outs. Shout-out to our social media guy, Matthew Engler, doing a phenomenal job, as always, on the social media page on Instagram at the handle @3PetePodcast. So make sure to give it a follow. Bunch of great content on there that we enjoy, that you guys should enjoy. And then also shout-out to Kevin from Wild Chat Productions. He is doing a phenomenal job there with branding and getting all the podcasts and really branching out and making it a well-known thing. So shout-out to Kevin. We'll awesome to be partners with him and everything he's doing there. So that's all we got for the episode. Hope you guys enjoy it. And we'll see you next week for a big, big episode. So stay tuned for the draft and all that. So thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.